Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. The title for today's study is called, For the Dead in Christ Shall Rise. The Dead in Christ Shall Rise. Talking about death is a very serious, foreboding event which personally stalks each and every one of us within and without our spheres of influence. In today's arena of life, we see it everywhere. It is more in our face than ever before. The wars, the famine, the pestilences, disease, earthquakes, violence, and the wickedness of man is great. And within their imaginations, we see only evil continually. Genesis 6:5, that is what God saw in the days of Lot, in the days of Noah. As we look around, does it look any different? Maybe it's worse. Maybe it's worse. Because of all that plays out before us, it gives us pause to think more about the severity of our future, its events, and to search for places of sanctuary and beliefs that will comfort our anxieties. Truth that we can believe in, reason and understanding is what is needed most. I pray, help us, dear Lord, to find peace in your understanding. Amen. You won't find peace, rest, or assurance through any worldly means. It is by clever design that we sit where we sit today. We enter the web that Satan has spun and his teaching that the dead are alive. Think about that. The dead are alive. This is what Satan teaches. Number one in the world of Satan's theme, it is that the dead are not dead through the belief of, and number one is reincarnation. One third of the world believes in this. I've always wondered what it would be like to be an eagle flying around. But that ain't going to happen for me. That's not what I believe. And of course, there are other things. There is channeling, communication with spirits, spirit worship, and the myth of the undying soul. And there is palm reading, calling the spiritual hotline concerning your horoscope, perhaps. I've never done that, but a lot of people do. And these are all inventions of Satan to throw off the path of truth. There is one aim, and that is to convince the world that when we die, we are not dead, that we are immortal. Genesis 3, 1 through 5, we know that story. Surely you shall not die. Surely, Eve, you shall not die. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That was the first big lie which carried through history to where we sit today, that we are of an immortal soul, an immortal spirit. When people believe that the dead are alive, Satan will be able to utilize his minions and his demons, the spirits of devils, working miracles. Revelation 16:14 and Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They shall deceive you. What was Satan's first big lie? You shall not surely die. For God knows that now your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan tricked Eve into second-guessing herself, into thinking there was something that she was lacking, that there was something she was missing, that she thought, why wouldn't God want me to know everything? You shall not surely die. Upon this foundational lie, Satan has built his agenda of the immortal spirit. Here is where God's restraint was snapped, and Adam and Eve fell under the guise of the teacher of lies. Regrettably for us and them was found the knowledge to know the consequences of transgression. Throughout biblical history, it is evident that Satan has worked powerful, deceptive miracles to trick people into thinking they are receiving messages from the spirits of the dead. By the Lord's help, we can overcome. Exodus 7, 11 and 12 talks about the magicians of Egypt. And what happened there? The magicians threw down their rods and they turned into snakes. But Adam, through God's power, threw down his rod. And what happened? That rod ate up all the other snakes. God's power is evident. Leviticus 20:27 states that a man or woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. This shows how God regards the use of satanic involvement. And then we go to 1 Samuel 28:7 through 25. And this is the story of the witch of Endor. Saul was feeling very, very alone because of all the things that Saul did, King Saul did, that upset God. And he took his community, God, the Lord God, took all communication away from Saul. And Saul was going to be going into the battle with the Philistines. And Saul was very worried about the outcome. He had to know. So he told his people, he said, go find me a woman who can tell me the future of what's going to happen. So Saul went against Leviticus 20:27, all right, which was the law, and he found this woman who was spiritually connected and asked her to bring up Samuel. He wanted to talk to Samuel. And when this woman, the witch of Endor, found out that who she was speaking to was actually King Saul, she became very afraid because of the law of Leviticus 20:27. But King Saul said, don't worry. Just do as I say, you will not be harmed. So up comes Samuel. Saul tricked the woman, but she found out and became afraid of stoning. But Saul got his way, and Samuel came up. Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed. For the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou may make known to me what I shall do. Samuel told him, or I should say the demon of Samuel told him, you're done. You're done, Saul. When God gets upset, it's his way. Daniel 2:2, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. However, the king said, if you can't tell me, you're all dead. But along comes Daniel. Daniel called upon the one true God to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And by and through the grace of God, everyone was saved, because Daniel went to the Lord God Almighty and asked for determination of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Again, the power of the Lord overrides everything else. Acts 16:16 to 18, and it came to pass, as we went into prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she had done for many days. But Paul, being most grieved, turned and said to the spirit that was within her, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her within the same hour. You see, the devil plays with the spirit, but once again, the name of Jesus is called and another soul is saved. Satan tries to even deceive the elect. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. And Jesus stated in Matthew 24:4-5, take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Is there not powers today that are trying to deceive us? Each and every day, if you get Facebook, you go on the internet, that's where it is totally committed to deception. Totally committed to deception. Satan tries to deceive the elect. And he tries to deceive us. Satan will not go down easily, my friends, for he has declared war against us. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is Christ's testimony? The two trees, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was Satan's evil claim, which began in heaven and fell to earth, that caused the affliction of sin. Isaiah 14:11-15. It states, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. We see that the thread of controversy moves down through history. This controversy exists because it is the battle over all that is precious to God. What is it that is so precious to the Lord, you might ask? You are precious to the Lord. Me, I pray. Us, we are precious to the Lord because why? Because we are His creation. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that number who is called. That is the good news. What happens to the righteous dead at the second coming of Jesus? Revelation 22:12. Behold, Jesus said, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his worth. What will happen when Jesus Christ returns? 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the dead will be what? Raised up incorruptible, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? Immortality. But not until then will that happen. The righteous will be rewarded. They will be raised up and given immortal bodies and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You see, there would be no purpose in a resurrection. Understand this. There would be no purpose of a resurrection if people were taken to heaven at the time of death. Christ would have no reason to come back. Do you believe that? Amen. And we know this how. Why shall we not be deceived? Because what is in this book? It is all right here. Be the Berean. Don't listen to what I say, okay? I could be standing up here and I could be lying right through my... Every word I'm saying is a lie. Boy, that Bachman, he misled us today. I'm going to go check him out. This is where you go. Therein are the testimonies. As in the past, today receive the truth if we desire to read and study this book. For in the Bible it says, Acts 17:11, they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Isaiah 8:20, for if they do not speak, if Bachman does not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in me. God's people will know through the study of this book that the dead are dead, not alive. They will know that a spirit claiming to be a deceased loved one, just as King Saul found out, is of the devil. God's people will reject all teachers and miracle workers who claim to receive special light or excuse me, or work by contacting the spirits of the dead. And God's people will likewise reject as dangerous and false all teachings that claim that the dead are alive in any form, anywhere. I'm not trying to be morbid here. So please forgive me if this next little thing I'm going to say sounds that way. Death. I had never witnessed death. I never was a soldier in battle. I did not witness death until the passing of my brother. God works in many mysterious ways. My brother Scott battled, as many we know have battled, cancer. His problem was multifaceted. There were his ups and downs for over a year until my sister-in-law called me on the phone. And she said, Scott is holding on by a thread. She said that she asked my brother if he thought that he could hold on until I got there. Can you imagine that? His reply was that he thought that he could do that. We got on the plane, we got there, and arrived at their home in Pennsylvania late afternoon the next day. My brother was there on a hospital bed, seeming to be resting peacefully. Brenda, his wife, said he had acknowledged earlier that he was still okay, and a few hours had passed by as we sat by his bedside. I got up to go to the bathroom, and my wife, Claudia, called out, Larry, Larry, come quick, something is happening. Rushing back, I sat down beside the bed, and I touched his arm. I watched his chest rising and falling, more shallow after each breath. It seemed easy for him to let go. It was just one final and he was at peace. He went as if to sleep. He is resting. He's not up there looking down on his brother, saying, oh, Larry, don't do that. That's going to hurt. You know, it makes people feel all warm and fuzzy. And they say, oh, my dear granny is up in heaven watching over me. No. God has his angels to do that for us. Each and every one of us is looked after by God's holy angels. That's who is watching us. God would not allow. Understand what a horror it would be for someone who passed away during the events of the Holocaust to be up in heaven watching down as the Holocaust went forward. God would not allow that in heaven. I don't believe that. God would not allow that pain to enter heaven. Recently, I had woken up in the middle of the night, as I do sometimes, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's strange that I find much of my clarity and thought processes concerning creativity at 3 a.m. in the morning. Every life we touch, every moment of our lives holds meaning. God does not waste one human life or moment. We are all connected. It is about what we choose to receive or recognize. My memories of getting into trouble in my past years is bothersome. My choices affected those around me Because as I look back, those choices I made were very selfish. And every time I made that wrong choice, my mother would not strike me or curse me for being born, but rather chose to place her dear son's life in the hands of God. She would simply state, "Oh, Larry, I will pray for you." Oh, Larry, I will pray for you. My dear mother never got to see my conversion or the processes that led to it, and I have fraught over that for years. Until one morning at 3 a.m., the Lord woke me up. And said, "Ye of little faith, you ask for verification on something. You know, I've always had a plan, Larry. Maybe not always your plan." Romans 8:28 comes to mind, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This silly little book that I wrote many, many, many years ago. Where are you? It's a children's book. And I didn't realize it at the time, but where are you is the most significant question in the Bible. When the Lord asks, "Where are you?" He wasn't necessarily talking to Adam and Eve. He knew where they were. His question was a spiritual one. Where are you in connection with me? Where are you? Come on now. Anyway, my mother was at the time when I finished this book and it was published, my mother was in her last moments. She was on a feeding tube and all that. And a dear friend of mine, Elena, had sent this book to her, and she loved my mother, loved her. And she says, "Larry, I'm going to go read her this book." I said, "Okay." So she went beside my mother's bed there at the home and read my mom this book because it's about my mom and my relationship. Where are you? My mom was painting a wall and said, "Don't touch the paint, Larry. I'm going to the phone." Well, what did Larry do? I had to know what that was. So I put my hands in it. And then when I heard my mom get off the phone, I ran outside into the cherry tree and hid. And then she saw the little sneaker prints leading out the back door. And she comes out and she goes, "Where are you?" So anyway, our dear friend Elena read my mother this. And after she finished, I said, "Well, did she hear you?" She goes, "No, she heard you." She says she can't speak, but she says tears were coming down her face. So the Lord said the message was received. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6. For the living know that they shall die. But what? Do the dead know anything? The dead know nothing. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, their envy has now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Let's add Ecclesiastes 9:12. For man also knows not his time. We could We cannot prognosticate life. It is like predicting the weather in Texas. You can't do it. It has a mind all its own. Ecclesiastes 12:7, the close of life. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Body plus spirit, breath of life, equals a living soul. Death is the reverse of that. The body of man now rests, the breath of life returns to God, and the cycle of a living soul completes. Do we understand? Finally, will those who are raised in the resurrection ever die again? Luke 20, 35 and 36. Those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead, nor can they die anymore. Revelation 21, 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things will have passed away. Amen. These tragedies will never enter into God's new kingdom. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Amen. I hope that today's study has helped in one way, shape, or form. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today safely. We thank you, Heavenly Father, to listen to your words, Heavenly Father, the words that are in your Bible, Heavenly Father, your testimonies, Lord. And we thank you for opening up our hearts, opening up our minds. Lord, we praise you, for you are worthy of being praised. In your Son's holy name, Jesus, amen.